Call item one.
Item number one, from the Director, Department of Transportation, requesting authorization to enter into a contract with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for the Milwaukee County Transit System to provide transit services as a result of the settlement agreement between WISDOT and the plaintiffs as part of the Zoo Interchange Freeway Reconstruction Project. On May 20th, 2014, this item was referred to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit. On May 20th, 2014, the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit considered this item and recommended adoption by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you. Mr. Dranzik?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. The report and the resolution that you have before you is to enter into an agreement mitigation contract with the state of Wisconsin to provide route service as a result of a lawsuit settlement. The settlement itself has been an ongoing process, and the reason why we're here today, in effect, is the we need to have this signed, this agreement signed, in order for the funds to be encumbered for the state of Wisconsin, so that's done before the end of their fiscal year. We've been notified by the state that it takes about 3 weeks to get the governor's signature. Their time frame for that is, their fiscal year ends June 30th. So while we've advised that we could get this through our June cycle, it was not possible for the state to meet that accommodation, and they've requested that we get this information together. It's not the preference of the department to push something through this quickly, certainly without the ability to provide better notification to supervisors of something like this. We have been working with the plaintiff group and with the state of Wisconsin. Our first meeting on this was in middle of April, and then we were notified in early May, first week or so of May, that we needed to try to turn this thing around quickly. So we had transit working on the report information to prepare that. We were able to get that done by last Friday, and that's what set off the series of meetings and where we are today. So I just want to give you that background of why we're kind of here at more or less the last minute asking for your approval to have this taken care of.
Do you have some comments as to the substance of what's before us?
Sure. And I can have transit come up here and talk about that as well. We've been going through a process with the state and with the plaintiff group now, like I said, from April, but even a little bit extended before that. We had been in discussion about what some route possibilities might be. The issue for us was we didn't really know what the settlement amount was or what kind of dollars we were looking at until around the April time frame. So while we put together a number of different proposals, the state and the plaintiff group has effectively settled on one route at this point in time, which is a route that extends out to Menominee Falls and Germantown area, which is going to be classified as Route 279. It's similar to the Route 79, kind of the inverse of Route 79, which is a flyer route from those areas into the city, but this will work in the inverse, where it's taking folks from the affected zip code areas that were part of the settlement between the state and the plaintiff group out to areas of Menominee Falls that has a mix of commercial development, retail development, and those types of uses. So I also want to point out, as I did in the Transportation Committee, that the county is not a party to this. To this settlement, we are being asked to provide the service for the state. So the agreements that are being made on the service is really between the plaintiff groups and the state. We have, I would say, influence in that process in terms of providing the information about where routes may be best served and how to provide that service. But at the end of the day, it's between the plaintiff groups and the state who has to agree to that, and that's identified in the report and also in the contract.
Any questions? Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any questions. I want to congratulate the plaintiffs. There was a suit filed on behalf of the Black Health Coalition and the MICA. I want to congratulate them, and I also want to congratulate the department in getting these papers to us in a timely way so that we can meet the state's schedule. Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the resolution associated with the settlement agreement. I move to adopt the resolution associated with the settlement agreement.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Transportation Committee did, in concept, review this and approved it, and we heard from both the plaintiff's attorney and the plaintiffs. This is the first time, however, we're seeing the actual contract, and the first page of the contract seems to be fairly broad in the fact that it talks about establishment of one or more new freeway flyer, business flyer, other bus routes from one or more locations in Milwaukee to one or more locations within western, northwestern, southwestern Milwaukee. Routes may include extensions or enhancements. Going on, next paragraph, all routes established are subject to review and revision. So, I mean, that is very broad language, but then you get to page 2, and it indicates the county will provide the following. Route 279, specifically stating Menominee Falls Industrial Park Express, will begin on August 24th, and the new express service between Milwaukee and Menominee Falls will provide enhanced service to connect job sites. Then it goes on, additional new service, the department will continue to coordinate with the plaintiffs and the county, and project management and marketing would be the county's requirement. So it looks like to me that this is identifying the new Route 279, which is certainly what we heard on Tuesday, but any additional new service, even though the first page talks about fairly broad language, it looks like it's going to be subject to the plaintiff's agreement. Is that the correct understanding?
That's correct.
And then, of course, we have the attachment identifying the cost of that. So, in effect, this is really pretty much a carrying out of the agreement that was reached in the lawsuit. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
Are we expected to provide any services other than what is going to be paid for in this 2.8 some million agreement per year?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, no. This first agreement really just helps to encumber the funds, set off the process. So there's a likelihood that we'll be coming back with what other route possibilities there are as they're agreed to by the plaintiff group and by the state. That may be one or possibly two routes coming in the future once they're agreed upon. The dollar amounts that you see on the first page is close to $3 million. So that's what we anticipate we'll receive on an annual basis through the term of the mitigation work of the zoo. It's only for that period of time. So there's going to be some additional work on additional routes.
I mean, I surely support what the plaintiffs did and the new route. The concern I have is there's a lot of needs throughout the county, and these plaintiffs may have gone into court with their specific region in mind, and I applaud them for doing that. I'm not arguing the fact that they shouldn't have. But there are certainly other office parks. I can think of some in Milwaukee County that don't currently have bus service, namely the ones in Oak Creek. A brand new town center is being built with really no bus service. And I would like to see some ability of the department, and I'm not saying necessarily through this settlement, but we have got to find a way to start connecting jobs to the workforce. And interestingly, tonight there's the sewer pack interim review and update on the regional transportation plan. I don't know, Mr. Drenzik, if you're planning to attend that or if you've already had input, but the sewer pack is actually revising the 2035 plan to what they call a fiscally constrained plan, which is really a sad story here. We're seeing a reduction in transit funding, a failure to get the proper transportation funding, even though governor's committee recommended that we find new sources. There's actually less sources of revenue, partly because the legislature refused to continue to index the motor fuel tax. I really think, Mr. Chair, and this isn't even to Mr. Drancic, this board needs to be more proactive in some of those things. I intend to go to the sewer PAC meeting tonight, partly because 735, which I worked very hard to get the extension of, is being taken out of the fiscally constrained plan. It's still a vision plan, but it's not going to be a reality. Transit is badly hurt. They're talking about a decline in transit by about 4% per year, whereas the original plan talked about doubling transit by 2035. So this is nothing but a sad story. I give the plaintiffs a lot of credit, but they were in court really arguing for a specific geographical area. And I just think we need, before budget, start needing to plan a lot more for transit than we've been able to do. And I would like to see us become more proactive. So I will certainly support this. It's the best under the circumstances. And I know I heard in transportation, the state even refused to make a contingency to allow us some time to look at it. Absolutely no contingency. They were refusing to work with our department in any way. So, you know, it's a take it or leave it deal for us, and certainly we're not going to turn down this money. But I really think we need to start being more proactive. You hear building a new basketball arena. We said in 29 that we needed dedicated funding. This report talks about dedicated funding. There's still no dedicated funding for transit. And if you want to do economic development and increase jobs, this is one of the most basic things we should be doing. So I think we need to get a little bit more proactive than we have been. I'm going to write a letter to Chairman Mayo, ask him to put review of this 2050 plan on the next Transportation Committee meeting. And I hope this board comes out with some kind of a proactive statement to start getting this transit issue a bit more before the public, because it's been a lost story. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, with the consent of the committee, I wish to be recorded as being present here.
Now that I am.
And, Mr. Chairman, I wish to echo some of Supervisor Jurczyk's concerns and interests in pertaining to transit funding. And I have a question then for Director Drancic. Supervisor Jurczyk had talked about this lawsuit, which, by the way, I'm happy with the outcome of for these routes on the north side. She mentioned that there is not connectivity to south side industrial parks, the Oak Creek Business Park. There is, of course, there's the whole gateway to Milwaukee, which largely has bus service. We could always use more. I'm curious, Mr. Drancic, would south side groups have had to get on, pursue similar action if there was to be any hope of reaching a similar settlement with the DOT? And I, as I say that, I question it because we're not as directly affected by the Zoo Interchange reconstruction as, of course, say, Granville is, or the west side. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, you know, that Supervisor Haas, you're correct. This is a result of the Zoo mitigation work that the state is pursuing. And it's a result of the environmental impact analysis that went along with that. So it's really subject to the time frame of the zoo project in which that's going to be constructed, and also certain affected zip codes related to access to employment centers. One of the criteria that's being looked at with these routes is trying to get expedient service to these outlying areas. So we're looking at, in conjunction with the plans in the state, how well can we serve these areas in terms of getting folks from the affected zip codes as part of this settlement to these particular areas, and what type of service changes that may require. So things like, thinking of things like the way we do flyer service, where it would be from outlying areas into the city, doing that in reverse, those types of things. Looking at where those jobs are and what is the best way to serve that. You know, we've had these issues with serving industrial parks in the past because their shift times are all a little bit different. The land use within the business parks are quite spread. You may have one that has more transit utilization and others that may not, depending on the type of work that is involved in those locations. So there's a number of factors that go into that. Certainly it's an interest always to try to serve those areas. But, you know, as we've gone through the years and the types of cuts that we've had to make based on their budget issues, you know, those unfortunately have been some of the services affected.
Ms. Chairman, my hunches were confirmed with that answer, which I do appreciate. Thank you for your. It's interesting how transit people tend to be very straightforward. I've noticed that. So thank you, Mr. Dranzik, and Ms. Chairman.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't see anyone from DLT here this morning. Is anyone? Okay. So I don't know if plaintiffs would be comfortable answering this or not, but I'll ask it and see what answer they're willing to give.
They're scheduled to speak. They have.
Oh, they are? Okay. Well, I heard their testimony the other day, and this wasn't part of it, so I'll ask the question, and you decide whether you want to include it as part of your. I'm wondering to what extent the agreement touched on any changes DOT intends to make outside of this, you know, going forward on other projects or generally in terms of their policy and state budgeting or budget requests, because this is, you know, just one example, obviously, of where this has been there, the way they've acted, and obviously we've seen the state funding cuts, and we've seen similar you know, we've seen them basically ignore this issue on other of their projects, and with so many projects coming up in Milwaukee County in the coming years, I'm wondering what else they may have agreed to, and I don't know how far along that. I don't know whether this agreement is 100% complete, or it sounded like it was sort of still in the works elements of it.
Well, with that, we'll call up. Thank you, Ms. Dranzik. Dr. Patricia McManus, head of the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin, and Attorney Dennis Krasinski from the Midwest Environmental Advocates, speaking in favor. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you want to go? Or
why don't I start with the
I'll do cleanup.
Short answer, and you can then correct me.
Yes.
I don't think your mic is on. Is there a little red light?
My name is Dennis Krasinski. I'm senior counsel with Midwest Environmental Advocates, and along with Karen Rotker of the ACLU of Wisconsin, we represented the plaintiffs in the case. To my left is Dr. Pat McManus, who's the president and CEO of the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin. And suddenly appearing to my right is the Reverend Willie Briscoe, president of MICA, the other of the two plaintiff organizations. The very short answer to Supervisor Lipscomb's question is the agreement does not address or affect or bind the state on any other of its activities. The lawsuit was focused on the zoo interchange expansion project and the decision-making and environmental analysis that was related to that. I can suggest that Judge Adelman's preliminary decision, in which he laid out reasons why he believed the plaintiffs were going to win the case, and in which he indicated he didn't know at that point what it was that he ought to do in response to finding that the environmental analysis and decision-making did not meet the standards of law. And he essentially said we have to schedule a hearing to address a number of issues that would inform his decision on whether he ought to halt the project or do something else. And it was that decision which I would urge any or all of you to read. It is written in relatively plain, straightforward English rather than incomprehensible lawyerese. It is our hope that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation will alter, at least to some extent, its decision-making on these kinds of highway projects moving forward. Hope and what actually happens in the future are not necessarily the same or even close. And, you know, we'll all have to see what the state decides to do with the next round of interstate expansion proposals, and that would be the stretch between the Marquette interchange and the Zoo interchange. And I expect we'll see in November or later where they're going on that. So there's no certainty, but there are reasons why the state ought to be, at least to some extent, altering their path. And perhaps Dr. McManus or Reverend Briscoe have more to add on that.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Pat McManus, President and CEO of the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin. Wanted to address that. Certainly the issue in terms of how it was set up, I think, to be very honest, it was quite fortuitous. I mean, it works for us to be in such a segregated city and such a poor city, and the north side is clearly much more affected than the south side. But that being said, that to understand that it's nothing on our part in terms of not wanting other folks to be there. Matter of fact, we even looked at, we want folks to get jobs. That's what this is about. And looking at even jobs where you're talking about, we looked at that and would have certainly, if there was a way, we could have done it to include the area, because we want to go wherever their jobs at. And as Dennis said, when you're looking at how the judge had to look at it, the environmental impact piece, the transit, the population and the percentage of transit need and dependent people were more on that side. So that's clearly why. And then, of course, because we were going after, as Dennis says, the Zoo exchange piece. And that's why it was there. But in terms of our being supportive and recognizing that we can get anybody, any place to get jobs and willing to work in the future to try to do that, we actually took advantage of a situation that was there that we could do, and I think we have to do that more. It was very well stressed in the Transportation Committee early this week that kind of sent home to me, certainly, that we can't even sit back on these 4 years. We got to start now looking for other ways to not only continue what we're talking about, but to expand that, and we're certainly going to be supportive of that.
Good morning.
Good morning. Reverend Willie Briscoe, New Covenant Baptist Church Associate Minister and President of MICA. In recent years, there have been more attention paid to health impact assessments as to decisions that are made in legislature, decisions that are made through engineering. It has been close study of how it affects the entire community. And when you look at Milwaukee, the central city, you will see that provisions and access are very lacking in this area. This is a small step. $13 million is great, but it's a drop in the bucket what's needed to solve the issues that we're facing, not only in Milwaukee, but in western Wisconsin. When we look at poverty, it's a statewide issue. We all have a responsibility to address that. We cannot have Milwaukee surrounded by suburbs of influence, and we are sitting in the middle of this hub as an institution that's impoverished and that is lacking in all these resources. These things have to work both ways. We have to convince the outlying counties that this benefits them also, because we are all in a depressed economy, and what we need are people working, people paying taxes. So what we have looked at is wherever there are tax dollars being spent, wherever there are federal dollars being spent, there should be some consideration for the communities that they represent. The Zoo Freeway right now will represent people with cars. People who have affluence can drive in and out of the city of Milwaukee. We are representing an entire community that don't have access to that transportation. Most cities our size have subways, trains, that connects to buses, that connects to outlying areas. we are light years behind in that area. So what we are proposing, this is not just for the central city of Milwaukee. This is where this is starting. If we are going to be a community of growth and a state of growth, this should be the beginning of something that's going to be far-reaching and going to find dollars from different sources, because this is what we are involved in, our community, the black community. If you've seen all of the studies and you've seen all of the statistics, and they're all negative, we need to do something, and this is one of the steps to make those a positive, because if we don't, it affects the entire state and the entire country if we don't lift ourselves out of this. So that is why we are involved in this, and that is why we are considering promoting this, getting support for this, and letting people know that you should not fear this, because this is something that has been long overdue, and it's something that we should have been supporting yesterday.
Supervisor Lipscomb, did you have any follow-up?
I just wanted to ask for if you could forward Ailman's, Judge Ailman's decision so it could be distributed, and I'd be interested in talking to you more in the future as we looked at the I-43 expansion to the north and go through that process of that environmental review and whether they're adequately addressing it.
Certainly.
Supervisor Jurczyk, then Supervisor Schmidt.
I'm wondering if you took a look at the Home Bridge project at all. There's a fair amount of money being spent on that one.
I have not.
It's a fair statement.
Supervisor Schmidt?
No, we didn't.
I drove through that the other day. That's more than interesting. It's almost like Wauwatosa now. But I guess I'm stating the obvious. I listened a little bit to transportation the other day, and I guess worried about the fiscal ramifications of Milwaukee County, and that's been covered. But don't we have studies? The money's being expended. I think we're all in agreement that we want to make sure that they're used well so we can actually get people to jobs. That's the whole objective here. And the money funnels from federal to state to us, and then we give it to MCTS, right? And then in 2 or 3 weeks, I thought I saw that we're supposed to figure out these routes. I know the main one going Menomonee Falls, because that's where the extension's going mm-hmm. right now, north then from the Zoo Interchange. But, so we have monies over 5 years or so. Are we actively, or I would presume we have some kind of data, the couple of business parks or where we want to take these routes, we have a pretty good idea where they want to go. I mean, I haven't seen much specific, so that's to be worked out, but I'm just presuming we want to be, as practical as we can with the monies we have. It is substantial monies in one sense, but to make sure that, or can we make adjustments after time and say, the jobs really aren't there like we thought they were going to be, but here's another area, or in Oak Creek, for example. And that's the growing area, Franklin and Oak Creek, too, where I think there'd be a lot of job opportunities. So am I stating some obvious things here, or is that thought process going on, too? And I would stop there. Thank you.
The answer to the questions are yes and yes. We have a lot of input from SewerPAC, from MCTS, from the UWM Center for Economic Development on, the areas we're trying to reach. And yes, the settlement agreement does provide for ongoing review and adjustment with agreement between WISDOT and the plaintiffs, and with input from MCTS on the data and how we're doing. None of us want to have bus routes operating that are not carrying riders, and there's certainly the opportunity for adjustment, not broadly to instead have a route down to Oak Creek. Any adjustments are going to need to be in the area affected by the Zoo Interchange project, but there will be lots of eyes watching to make sure that over the 4 years that this funding runs for, that it continues to be spent on things that are effective and useful.
And we clearly, too, we started looking. That's the first thing we looked at is where were the hubs, I mean, that was the main thing. But then also recognizing that you need to have the ridership, we also looked at where the corresponding retail areas, which also have jobs as well. So those are the driving pieces as to why we're, where we're looking at things. We started with Menominee Falls because that was, that route was almost there already, and we're extending it. The one that we're looking at that's a bit further west, that's trying to get us out by Brookville and then over to New Berlin, takes a little bit more of trying to figure it out. If we can figure out less than 2 hours practically to get people from the north side over there, so that takes a little bit more time. But we do have to have them pretty well nailed down within the next 2 or 3 weeks for MCTS to get their schedules out and that kind of thing. So that really is going to move really pretty fast. But we definitely are, I think there's something, I don't know if it's formal or not, but we certainly been talking about something built in terms about doing an evaluation midway between this, like the 2 years in, to do just what you're talking about in terms of doing an assessment of what does this mean and, you know, what can we do differently or have we done differently. We've been meeting with the Wisconsin, Ozaukee, Washington, I had to get those all together, that group for, you know, for job development, the Milwaukee one. So we're looking at training. I made it very clear previously is that I don't want people to think that everybody has to go out to these jobs, need training. We have trained people in our community sitting there who can't get a job. So we got folks who could do it, and we also want to work to get folks trained who don't have the training. We want to do both. And we also, again, want to make sure that anybody in this really county can go out there and do things. Actually, somebody brought up the fact that, well, if you're successful, people will make more money, and then they'll buy their own car, and then they won't need transit. Okay, I'm born and raised in Milwaukee. I've been here long enough to know that would be great, but kind of like Judge Edelman said, a pipe dream. But if we can increase some folks out there, that this, you know, as Reverend Briscoe said, this is a small step, actually. It looks like it's large, but it's not. We really want to get this working, and also working in other areas. We've looked at New Oak Creek. We know there are job hubs down there. This particular one didn't allow us to do that, but I'm hoping we can work together to see if we can get there. That'd be great. And one last thing. I think it's important to know that we've got to, this wasn't done with the state just saying, okay, let's jump in and do this. They were forced to do it. I mean, that's real. Okay, so, and even now, I mean, they're not, they would love to have us take this money and go away. You know, but we understand that we can't go away. We're in here for the long term, the long haul, and trying to make sure that people in this community get what we need to get. This is the cumulative disadvantage of what we're talking about in terms of transit going down and down and down is what's driving this. And we're the ones that have to see, and we have to take advantage, like we did with this one, to move it forward. We got to do whatever we can do to do that. So
I would just have a quick follow-up, and I guess to your point, yeah, this wasn't the state's idea. I understand that. but, you know, now as all of us being constituents and want to see our tax money and state money used well, you know, just the reality of things. And the follow-up I had was I was thinking, you know, with jobs and stuff too, is that, you know, education centers, I don't know if we have some routes, I guess I'm naive on a couple of these things, on, you know, like Waukesha Tech, like MATC and Mequon. You know, MATC is right here, but I mean, they got satellites, and do we have, you know, getting our students out to like MATC and Mequon, Waukesha? I mean, there's outlying areas, educational facilities that, I don't know if that's in the thinking or if we have anything going there. It seems to me very logical, too, for training and education for all of our people. Anything going there, or that could be. I'm trying to stretch everything here. Maybe we're trying to do too much in one swoop here, but it's exciting to have some money then. But all of us want to see the money used well and actually people getting to educational institutions or getting to jobs. Yes. And I would certainly hope, presume, just as you said, I mean, you're very smart people, you've worked hard on these issues, that, you know, have some accountability and have some checking on this. Since we're putting the money in, let's use it wisely.
And I'd like to follow up on that. Common sense will tell you that any transportation system that is designed just for workers will eventually fizzle out. This has to be a community-wide even a southeastern Wisconsin-wide expansion on this idea in order for it to work. Most major cities have students, workers, tourists, everyone using mass transit to get around the cities because it's cheaper and more efficient. Mm-hmm. We are light years behind these, so we must start this thinking because there are students in Milwaukee who would want to take classes at MATC and Waukesha Tech, who want to get out to the Northline areas. Those are things that we hope that this will spur conversation and further debate that will get increased dollars and increased transportation activity in southeastern Wisconsin, because we are behind the times when it comes to transportation.
Okay. Thank you. We're getting a little far afield and sort of the philosophical, and this is a great discussion, but we have a board meeting in 15 minutes. So, Supervisor Bowen, did you have some questions or comments?
Yes, sir, and I'll be brief. No, we have other things on the agenda today. Definitely want to thank the plaintiffs in this lawsuit who have worked diligently to get us where we are today. And I know I posted it on Twitter, and some people were like, well, we need more. Well, I agree we need more. But this is a good first step, and we're moving in the right direction. My question is for the administration and understanding the frequency of the buses that will be going out there. How many buses would technically be on this route in this $600,000 number for the cost of this route?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. To answer your question, Supervisor Bowen.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Mike Juneau, Managing Director, Milwaukee County Transit System. Sorry. We have, for the Route 279, developed a route with a frequency of about 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the time of day and the day of the week. We have three sets of times where the buses will be operating, the a.m., the midday, and the late night at this point.
Based on work shifts?
That's correct, based on estimated work shift times. As has been presented prior to me, we don't really have those exact times at this point. And there seems to be some difficulty in getting that information. But we're going to work with the plaintiffs and the state to try to get that as soon as we can.
Okay. Additionally, Director Dranzik, is there an opportunity to do a full study on some of these routes? To make sure we can see all opportunities around the county to either extend routes or for the opportunity of getting people to jobs. I'm just noticing, even on this current route, it goes very close to Hellerman Titan, and that's a huge employer that's currently expanding in Milwaukee County. Is that possible that we can see the full scope of what we can do? Even beyond what the state has agreed to in this lawsuit.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, it's something I guess we could do as a project. It's things that we've been doing throughout the process of this this settlement. We have looked at about, I think, four different areas initially, and as I think the plaintiff groups have talked about, it's a matter of figuring out some of the logistics related to the lawsuit and some of the goals and objectives that are trying to be achieved by that. It's a process that I think transit and the department is always kind of looking at in terms of what are our opportunities. The reality is, do we have the ability to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the cost to potentially other service? You know, we're working within the finite amount of dollars that we have right now and trying to balance what's best for the overall system. In many cases in the past, like I said before, in the business park specific areas, we've been able to do that, or transit's been able to do that in the AM and PM type shift time frames.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a little bit difficult because over time you have businesses move, you have things change. So, the opportunities that are there today aren't necessarily the ones that continue in the future, or the ones that were there in the past aren't there any longer. So it's a constant evaluation that they're doing. We certainly, I think, can make you aware of some of the things that that have gone into this already. But again, we have to work with the plaintiff groups and the state to see what's ultimately settled upon.
Okay. And the 2.7 or 2.8 per year that we're looking to expend, does this equate to full bus routes, or are we saying that we could kind of piecemeal it where we decide with the plaintiffs on route extensions and things of that nature?
Right, that's what we're looking at with the settlement funds. Is it a full blown route, you know, starting at 6 a.m. ending at, you know, midnight or whatever, or is it a.m. and p.m.? And those are the decisions that we'll work through with plaintiff groups as to what serves the needs best of the settlement. So it's going to be a combination of that, mm-hmm. I think. What can be done off of existing routes? What are potential new routes like we have now in front of us, the 279? That's completely new and different and unique to what we have today.
Okay. And Director Juneau, the amount that I think we're being reimbursed by the state in this process. So we expend the money up front, and then we recoup the money on the back end. Does the transit system have the backup funds to take care of this, or should we make at some point, will you be coming back to finance to ask for an allocation to do that?
If I can answer that.
Okay, go ahead.
In the resolution itself provides the administrative authority to effectively receive or to expand the budget for that receipt of cash. So
okay.
We'll take care of that as an administrative fund transfer, more or less, for the receipt of those funds.
Gotcha. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, plaintiffs, for the work you have done.
Anything further? If not, I'd also like to congratulate Dr. McManus, Mr. Krasinski, and Reverend Briscoe for your hard work on this. This is an important issue, but as Reverend Briscoe said in the press release you put out, this is a first step in a 1,000-mile journey. So I'm glad to hear Dr. McManus say that, and Mr. Krasinski say there will be eyes watching this so that we make sure this gets done correctly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? If not, we have a motion. Would you take the roll on the motion to approve this?
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend item number 1 for adoption prevails.
Thank you. That's all the business we have before us, so we're adjourned.